Our Bible reading today is a long one. It's found in Matthew chapter 23, and we must needs read this chapter through from verse 1 onward. Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 23. Let's hear the Lord's Word as we read the Scriptures of truth together. Matthew 23, verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi. For one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye do devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, Whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple which that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whosoever therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it, and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it, and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets, and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, If we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets, and wise men, and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues, and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thee, thy children, together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for joining with us on the program. And today we're turning to one of the great texts of gospel invitation. It is Matthew 23, verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Today I want to point out that all who come to Jesus are received, and those who will not come are responsible for their own willful rebellion. Jesus will have you. The problem is, many will not have him. And I plead with you today to never hold back, to respond to the gospel, to trust in the Lord Jesus on the thought, the excuse, or indeed the lie, that you are not invited or that you will not be received. And this text, Matthew 23:37, certainly is very clear. I would, but ye would not. May the Lord minister to your heart today through his word.
Help us today in your word. We confess that our minds are finite and puny, that thou art the infinite, all-wise God, who hath revealed yourself in this book from Genesis to Revelation. We therefore submit our minds and hearts to the Word of God. We pray that the Holy Ghost will work this Word into our lives, that it may master us, and that we may be biblical people. Or as Mr. Bunyan put it, that we will be bibline, the very Bible in our blood. O Lord, breathe upon us now and bless us. Help us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Matthew 23 again, our text today is verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. This was one tough sermon. I don't think that anyone else on earth but the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, could have taken up the podium in the temple and delivered this message that was so hard-hitting, so scathing against the apostasy of Judaism. Truly, at this juncture where our Lord Jesus pointed out the corruption, the inherent deadness and rebellion of the system, the world was at a crisis. Jerusalem, which was the holy city, built on that Mount Moriah where Abraham almost sacrificed his son Isaac, and God told him to go yonder and worship. That spot where David built the temple in Israel's days of glory. Well, Solomon built it. David planned it. Solomon is the one that executed it. When sacrifices were offered without number, the place where prophets preached, where a nation knew the providential dealings of a gracious God. Jerusalem, the holy city of all the earth, where the God of heaven was pleased to come down in his Shekinah glory and meet with the high priest of Israel. Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, the place that had too often slain God's prophets and was now soon to perpetrate the worst, the ultimate act of rebellion to God in crucifying the Lord Jesus by demand of these Jews. Our Lord Jesus may well have said, Judaism, Judaism, that system that was the apple of God's eye, chosen of God. And here is the Lord groaning. You can hear the groan in his voice. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And he uses the picture of great compassion. He speaks of gathering these people as a hen, the mother hen, gathers her little brood of chicks. When danger is coming, and she clucks and would gather those little birds under the shelter and safety of her wings. And he says, but ye would not. The extent of the statement, we would say in Canadian language, you responded, no way. You dug your heels in with an intransigence and you said, I am not going to respond to the voice and to the mercies of the Lord. But ye would not. As a result of that, we need to go one verse further to understand this text. As the result of the privileges of the past, the apostasy that was deepening, the departure from God, and the intransigence, the stubbornness of their hearts, the Lord had to pronounce, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. There rung the death knell of the Lord over this whole system which God had ordained and favored. And as you know, a few days and just hours later, our Lord hung on the cross. And as he cried out, it is finished, inside the temple, the holiest of all, the veil was rent from top to bottom. Judaism died that day. It ceased to exist in its former honor and position in God's mind. And now God had opened up a new way, a better way. We call it today the way of the cross. Salvation is no longer a mountain. Salvation is no longer a building. Salvation is no longer a system. Salvation now is in the cross, in the act of one death, in the sufferings of one man, in the blood of one sacrifice, is now gathered together all of the mercies of God to us. And yet, in the midst of all this, we have people that today are just like these Pharisees, scribes, and hypocrites. I think if you go back to verse 13, you'll notice One of the big reasons why God had to abandon Judaism. He said to them here in Matthew 23:13, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in today." These wicked men in the Lord's eyes, religious but wicked, professing to be men of God, but yet they were damming up the way to heaven, which in turn was damning souls on the way to hell. And Jesus says to them, "How often would I, but ye would not." Let me show you today that the Lord Jesus does not shut up the kingdom of heaven to men. How awful that statement even sounds. That the one who came down from glory to this earth, who hung on a cross, that in any which way he would become a hindrance to disallow any soul to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And those who will not come because they say, "Jesus doesn't want me." Those who say, "I will not be saved because the Lord has not called me." They have to fight the gospel message of the Lord's willingness, his mercy, his mother spirit of "I would," as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. "I would in mercy bring you under the wings of my plan of grace, my scheme of mercy. I would, but ye would not." And there will be no man on earth, and there will be no man or woman on the judgment day who will say, "Lord, you wouldn't take me in." But rather it will be turned around and saying, "I would, but ye would not." Now in this text, mind-boggling as it is, there are wells of theology that we will not plummet today. But there's a scheme of thought that says because God is a God who predestines an exact number who are going to heaven, and he appoints them to eternal life, therefore, you can't preach the gospel to all men, and therefore, the Lord does not receive all who come. Now that is skewed thinking, but I'm afraid it's all too common thinking. And I want to address it today, because as pastor of this church, and I think I know my congregation fairly well, there is lurking in hearts, thoughts, because of this great doctrine of God's particular redemption, that there are souls walking around in the world today that don't have a hope of heaven. And if they were to come and ask, "May I be saved?" it's as if they'd be turned away. I want to address that. I want to go through this text. I want to go through this scenario we have before us here. And I want us to see that when the Lord says, "I would," he means it. We know this because of the veracity of the Lord and our Heavenly Father. The Bible says that God cannot lie. It is blasphemous, it is sinful to say that God promises something that he will not deliver on. Now, I know that men do that. Politicians do that. Corporations do that. Businesses do that. Your neighbor will do that. And unfortunately, the people that you may never think of will let you down. And they promise you this and that, and they don't deliver. And even when they do promise, it's not really a bona fide offer. They don't really mean it. It's like somebody arriving at the door unexpected, and maybe they're delivering something small, and you're not sure whether it's a pretense that they want to really come in for an extended visit or even stay overnight. And you say to them, "Do you want to come in? Do you need to come in? Do you want to come in?" And then say, "Oh, no, I'm just delivering this. I have something else to go on to." And you close the door and you go, "Phew, I thought they were going to actually take up the invitation to come in." Now, if that is in any way our thought of the promises and the invitation that of the gospel that the Lord gives to sinners, we have a very carnal idea of God. The Bible is very, very clear that he is one who cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and, sorry, chapter 2 and verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 13. "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. He cannot deny himself. And so it is unthinkable that when our Lord says here over Jerusalem, I would, but ye would not, that there is some condition, there's some explanation, there's some way of seeing that this was just certain people, but not all the people. The gospel is not limited in its call. And don't dare think it, nor insinuate it. Now that because we follow the other passages of Scripture which say that the Lord has his own sheep who hear his voice, and all these other verses that talk about God having foreloved and predestinated certain souls to eternal life, don't pit one Bible text against the other and make the Lord a liar. Because that's what we would do if we permitted that way of thinking. The Lord states that he has no pleasure in the death of your soul. In Ezekiel 18 and verse 23, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? Ezekiel 18, 23. Now that text does not make me an Arminian. That text does not make me to believe in a general ransom theory that Christ died for all men and all men are going to heaven. But it does say that the man or woman who hardens his heart and stubbornly rejects the gospel can never say that the Lord would not take him in. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But God's pleasure, God's true, genuine delight, this is no pretense, this is no pseudo-statement, that he should return from his ways and live. Now, if we take any other meaning out of those wonderful words, Ezekiel 33:11 is another great text. Turn ye, for why will ye die, O Israel? That's the heart of God. And of course, it's the heart of our Lord Jesus as he came into the world to express the will of his Father and the love and the grace of his Heavenly Father. And so we take our stand today on the veracity of God, the truthfulness of God, the faithfulness of God, that what he says, he means. If you're here today and you're not saved and you're wondering, can I be a Christian? Can I come into the family of God? Are these promises for me? Will God honor them for me? You take him at his word and you'll prove that God is no liar. You'll prove that God is genuine. Let every other man be a liar, but let God be true. He has stated it. He has promised it. And if you come in response to that gospel promise to believe on his Son, Paul and Silas could say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. No ifs, buts, prevarications, or dreaminess about it. Thou shalt be saved. We take our stand on the veracity of God. Can you? O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. This city that was so privileged, so blessed, now at the juncture, at the crossroads of the world, where they'd become so blind, so obstinate, so hardened, that they were going to take God's Son. And Jesus knew this when he cried over Jerusalem. He knew that his death was just hours away. If I have my calculations right, this is still the third day of the week. It would be our Tuesday of the week before the crucifixion. And his death is looming ever so near. And with his omniscience, he can already hear the cries of these Jerusalemite sinners. Crucify him. Crucify him. And he says, in preempting that, he says, I would gather you as a hen with her brood, but ye would not. Ye would not. Oh, we cannot dare take it on our wicked hearts to say that I was not accepted into the grace of God. I was not a candidate for heaven. God left me to die and perish in hell. Can't say that. Because God extends the full message of the gospel to you now. I would, but ye would. Secondly, there is the publicity of the gospel. This was not done in a corner. If the Lord had only wanted certain people to hear the gospel, this would be done in a corner. This would be done in some secret place. But all these gospel promises were public. The prophets referred to in this verse in Matthew 23:37, who were so often slain by these Jerusalemite sinners. So often they stood up to preach, like Jeremiah stood outside weeping at the temple, and his ministry was public. It was so public that they had to imprison him, and they cast him into an empty cistern, a well dug out under the basement of some home filled with dirt and filth. And there they cast Jeremiah because they wanted to shut him up. His ministry was that public, they couldn't take it. And he's only one of the many that came to preach to the Jerusalem sinners over the years. And then the ministry of our Lord Jesus in his time, think of how public it was. It tells us that he went from city to city. I must needs go to the house of Israel, he said. All of it, from north to south. How many travels? How many sermons to the multitudes? Just think of the Sermon on the Mount. The great crowds that gathered in the feeding of the 5,000 and later 4,000. And the masses were hearing the gospel. And then as we move to Acts 2, the city of Jerusalem, after this again, where was it that Pentecost broke out? It was Jerusalem, to these very same wicked people. And Peter preached to thousands, and 3,000 in one day were converted. The church was commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So this message was made ever so public. Are we going to say that in spite of its publicity, the gospel's not for you? That in spite of prophets risking their lives to declare the gospel, in spite of our Lord Jesus and all of his public ministries, in spite of revivals, in spite of the church's witness around the world today, and there are very few places in the world that if you seek out a gospel preaching place, you'll find it, and many means of getting the gospel out to the nations. How can we think that you are not invited, that you're not included in the great plan of the gospel?
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.